Gather today, praise the name of Jesus. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, there is a very serious subject, but a very important subject. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Amen. Everybody say with me tonight or today, all the children murmured. I want to preach today about the menace of murmuring. The menace of murmuring. Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. I heard one time that preaching's purpose is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I'm not real sure how this will fit today, but I want to just try to follow what I feel like the Lord would have us to say. I heard about a family that had gone to Sunday service. They were returning home. Dad was commenting on the fact that the sermon was too long and it was boring. Mom said that the musician played too loud, and Sis said that the soloist was singing off key. The little boy sat there and listened to all this, and then he said, Hey, but I thought it was a pretty good show for a dollar. It was a pretty good show for a dollar. Amen. Praise God. So, but we say that today, but I want you to know, folks, that God takes complaining and murmuring very seriously. It is something that, as a matter of fact, angers him. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, it said, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Everybody said, displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. We don't often think of these things. In our age, God has become fluffy and cuddly. But God still has anger, and it can be kindled. And the sin, and I say the sin, of complaining and murmuring can actually cause God to become angry. Amen. Oh, but Brother Grissom, it's just my nature. Change it. You have the Holy Ghost today. And there's a whole lot to be excited about. And there's a whole lot to be positive about. And there's a whole lot to worship God for. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so murmuring then got Israel into a whole lot of trouble. As a matter of fact, God numbered 10 times. He called it. He said, 10 times these people have murmured against me. I mean, friend, they had just crossed the Red Sea. And they had just gone just a very short distance. And the very next thing they started doing was complaining. Amen. And the Bible said that they started complaining, and they said, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or that we, that would God we died in this wilderness. Hey, be careful what you think, and be careful what you ask for. They said, hey, we're going to die out here. That was a prophecy. Amen. They were acting like they wanted to, so God answered their prayer. 10 times. 10 times. Amen. They said, oh, we're gonna die of thirst out here. God gave them water out of a rock. Amen. Now, God knows what you need, and you don't get what you need by complaining about it. You get what you need by praying about it, about asking God for it, with faith and with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time dealing with complainers. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Anybody else have a hard time? I'm glad most of you don't. But there's a few of us that do. Amen. Praise God. I can handle a whole lot easier. You know, I mentioned last week, Forrest came by, and I get people every week, several times a week, wanting money. Anytime I'm here at the church, almost anytime, people come by wanting money. Amen. Just now, they you know, just you, everything. You know, my grandma died in California. But in $20, I can it'll help me get there. How's $20 going to get you to California? I want to know the formula here. But you know, and then next week, I guess their grandma resurrects and dies rather often. Or they ought to get their stories mixed up. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? This happens over and over and over in the life of pastors. And they know where I live. I walked out of the house one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a person standing on my porch wanting money. Amen. And you have to, you know, you have to guard against getting weary with that kind of thing. Amen. And you have to guard against getting hardened against that kind of thing. And so I walked out, and so when Forrest came up the other day, I'll be honest with you, I kind of, inside my spirit kind of went, oh no. Amen. But you know what he did? I said, we got some food in here, you want to join us? He said, oh no. He said, I've already ate his word. And he said, I've already ate. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Amen. I never heard that one. Usually they say, well, you know, yeah, let me load up here. And so he said, but I would like to have something to drink. I'm thirsty. So we brought him in, and we were sitting there. And he said, you know, he said, I need a ride to Corsicana is what I need. And I said, well, we can get you there, but we're busy around here. It's going to take a while. He said, that's all right. He said, you got something I can do while we're waiting? Amen. He said, I love to cut grass. And I said, well, we got a lawnmower with your name on it. Amen. And buddy, he got a hold of that lawnmower. You talk about going to work. Forrest knows how to cut grass. He cut more grass with a push more than I can cut with a ride. Why, he got with it evermore. He ran out of gas 3 times, and every time he'd run out, he didn't sit down. He'd come running over and say, I'm out of gas. Amen. Like I just had to get him some gas right now. Amen. And I'd let him rest a little while. I didn't want him to die out there in the heat. And then, you know, you got to get a lawnmower. You better keep up with him. And so we'd fill him up, man. He'd hit it again. And he did that all day. Those of you here last Saturday, you remember that. Boy, he was a working dude, I'm telling you. And then I got the riding lawnmower going, and man, he just was in hog heaven then. Man, he got on that thing, and he really went to town. And after he worked hard all day long, never asked for a thing. And afternoon, we got through with all that. It's kind of late. And I said, all right, let's go on over. So we got in the car, and we started over. And he had yet, out of all of that whole day, to ask for anything more than just a ride. He was not a complainer. Amen. And when we got there, I reached in my pocket and I got out some money and gave it to him. He didn't ask for it, but I knew he earned it. And I just gave him the money, and he was so thankful. He was so excited. And boy, that was such a refreshing for me. I may talk about it again next Sunday because I'm still kind of in shock. I'm not used to helping people that are grateful. The same Saturday, we sent groceries to a family that had starving children. And we got over there, and Sister Melinda took the groceries over there to them, and it wasn't the children that was on the porch, it was about five or six big fat adults sitting there. Amen. Dialing for groceries. Amen. Now, I'm not against helping folks. I'm really not. But you know what, folks? Sometimes you get tired of complaining. I've had people call and ask for money. Didn't have any. Said, we don't have any money to help you right now. And they'd say things like, you call yourself a church? Amen. Had people call one time. One lady called me up, wanted to use the church for the wedding. I said, all right. Said, well, let's talk about it a little bit. And she started talking about all the churches, this church and that church and this place and that church place. And she said, you know what? He said, and they, you know, churches are telling people they want you to get married, but they want to charge so much money. Have a wedding in the church. I said, well, do you remember any of them? She said, no. I said, ma'am, have you ever considered that these folks that are in this church paid to build this church? And the people that are in this church keep the lights burning in this church and keep the utilities paid in this church? And then it costs a lot of money to do that month after month after month after month. And then I told her, I just got a little bold, folks. I said, and you know what I have discovered? I have discovered that most people have no problem spending several thousand dollars on the party, but want the church to do the wedding for free. What the wedding is all about, folks, is the church. And God blessing your union. It's not about how pretty you look in your wedding dress or your tuxedo. It's about God blessing your union. That's what you're asking for. No, we don't charge for that. Amen. Praise God. But I'm talking about complaining today. Amen. There's a lot of it going on. And you know what happens inside the church? Amen. Whoever invented the push-button telephone did not help the church at all. You used to at least have to dial, you know, ring, 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 and the Holy Ghost could talk to you a little while you're dialing. But now you got everybody on speed dial, hit number one, number four, number nine, and man, you got them in an instant, and you're off to the races. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about murmuring, complaining. And I'm going to tell you today, God hates it. I'm going to say it again. God hates it. You know why He hates it? Because it causes division in His body. Amen. I'm going to just say this. God doesn't even like it when you talk about your leader. He got mad at Israel because they talked about Moses. I'm not Moses. Amen, but I'm your leader. I may not be the best, but it's what you got right now. And you better get to praying if you want to change. Ask God to change it. Amen. And so a lot of complaining, and they were complaining, and they got to complaining one time, and God said, I've had nothing. And so he sent these snakes out, started biting them. And you know who they called on? Hey, Moses! You pitiful leader. You awful man that brought us out here in the middle of this place to bake and die. Help us! Amen. You know who God talked to? Not the complainers. He talked to the leader. And he told him what to do. Amen. He said, put a fiery serpent, a brazen serpent on a staff. Lift it up. When people get bit, he said, they'll look upon that and I will heal them. Amen. Jesus referred to that verse when he said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. You know what the role of leadership is? It's to lift up Jesus Christ. And if you'll get your eyes on Him, the more you look at Him and the closer you get to Him, the more you'll leave complaining and murmuring behind. Amen. Praise God. And so God blessed the people through His leadership. He continued blessing. They complained because they had no water. God gave them water. They complained because they had no food. Amen. And then they got greedy. I've noticed that about freebies. People are used to getting freebies. They're some of the most ungrateful people I've ever met. Met a man one time in Colombia, and he was asking for money, and I gave him some money, and just what I had in my pocket, and I just gave it to him, and he looked at me shocked, and he boldly angrily said, "This is not enough." And I looked at him, and I was probably just about as angry. I said, "Well, give it back." Boy, he nearly had a heart attack on the spot. He had never heard such a thing. I said, "Bud, if that's not enough for you, give it back to me." Amen. Praise God. Hard on the heels of complaining is ingratitude. Amen. You know what happens when you're complaining? You can't see the blessings of God. You cannot see the blessings of God because you're not looking for them. Manna was falling everywhere, but they could not even understand the source of the manna. Oh, they had their mind on complaining. Amen. They got, matter of fact, one time they started complaining about it, and they started comparing their manna that was made in heaven to the onions and the leeks and the garlics and all the stuff they had back in Egypt. Said, "Oh, if I could just go back there and didn't have to put up with any more of this stuff." Friend, when you get to comparing life in Jesus Christ to the life you had before, and you start seeing what you used to have favorably, you're on your way out. You're on your way out. Sister Everett, they lost the love that they had in their heart. You got to get a hold of this. You got to protect it. You got to love it with everything that's in you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was a guy that sat down at the table and he asked God's blessing on the food, and then he started complaining about the toast was too done, and the coffee was cold, the eggs were runny, and his little girl asked him, said, "Dad, do you think God heard you when you said thanks over this meal?" And he said, "Yes, honey, the Lord heard me." And then he said, "Well, do you think he heard you with all this complaining going on?" And he said, "Yes, honey, I believe he did." Amen. We can get so callous, folks. You know, you can just get in a habit of complaining. You ever know anybody just got in a habit of complaining? Like, you remember the guy who sat down at breakfast and he sat down at the table, you know, like a king, and he told his wife, he said, "All right, woman." He said, "I want one egg fried and I want one egg scrambled." A little while, brought food over, set it down. He looked up at her. He was angry. He said, "I can't believe it. You fried the wrong egg." You can get used to just complaining, folks. You can get used to just complaining. Amen. My brother used to say, some folks would gripe if they were getting hung with a new rope. You can just get used to complaining. It becomes a habit with some people. Amen. Praise God. And it's hard to be around somebody that is so negative, that's all you ever hear. Amen. And so it becomes a habit. Praise God. Now, let me tell you what complaining does. Complaining is like a pirate that takes over the ship, the old gospel ship. Amen. And it begins to rob the joy and the praise and the worship and the love, and it'll just start sucking that right out of a church. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Amen. Praise God. And so complaining is a pirate spirit, and it seeks to destroy worship and praise and the uplifting and the blessing that God wants to send down. It sidetracks that, and it steals that. And it takes that away, because joy and peace and righteousness, those are the treasures of the church. And Satan will do everything he can to rob the treasure of the church. Amen. Complaining, you see, it cannot see the beauty of worship. It doesn't understand that. It doesn't understand that. Praise God. Hallelujah. It comes, and while somebody's praising God, the old spirit of piracy, it begins to say, well, you know, what right do they have to praise God? Amen. I've been here longer than you have. Amen. I keep the standards better than you do. What right do you have to praise God? Amen. And it just starts its criticism, and it starts murmuring, and it starts complaining, and it starts zapping and sapping away the spirit of praise and worship. Amen. And I want to tell you something. When that happens, God begins to get a little upset. You remember the story when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he'd prepared a place for it, and he'd prepared for months to bring that Ark into the city. Amen. And every time that Ark would go six paces, they would stop, and they would play music and sing songs. And David the king would put on a linen ephod, amen, over his robe, or I don't know, on his robe, or took off his robe. I don't know what he did. But he was saying, right now, I'm not the king of Israel. I'm a worshiper of the one true God. And David would just begin to dance before the ark and dance before the Lord. And they'd go a few more steps, and he'd say, "Woo, I feel it coming on again." And he'd get out and he'd dance some more. All the way from the house of Obed-Edom into the city, they would just keep dancing and rejoicing. Got into the city, David's wife was looking out the window, and she saw her husband, and that old complaining spirit came upon her. And she said, "Oh, wasn't the king of Israel glorious today? Down there dancing in linen ephod like a fool before all those common people." And David said, "You think that was something? You ain't seen nothing yet, honey." Amen. That's just the beginning. You think that's vile? I'm going to show you vile. When it comes to worshiping, you ain't stopping me. Praise God. That's just the beginning of worship right there. But God heard that, and he didn't take it very lightly. The Bible says he reached down, and I don't know, we talked today about people getting their tubes tied. God probably did the first surgery. He said, "I'm just going to show you something here, honey." Amen. You know one of the things that'll sterilize the church? Complaining. Said it before, I'll say it again. If you have a healthy mother, and you have a healthy father, and they want children, they'll have children. The only way they can't have children is if one of them is not healthy. Our God is plenty healthy, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. And the church is healing every day. Amen. And when we are healed, as we ought to be healed, amen, increase and revival and evangelism will just be a natural thing. Praise God. I said it will just be a natural thing. Praise God. It's not something that you have to moan and complain about. It's just going to happen. Somebody said, "Well, when in the world are we going to start having revival around here?" When you get your spirit straightened out. Amen. Praise God. Brother Grissom, you're really on it today. Yeah, I might as well get it out of my system. Amen. If you don't, you're going to hear it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just telling you today, complaining is a piracy spirit. Amen. And it will destroy what God wants to do in the church. Amen. Remember a lady by the name of Mrs. Job? She had a piracy spirit. Job was going through the trial of his life. It was tough. And even in the midst of that trial, he had it. He had it right. He'd say, "The Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, amen, yet in this body I shall see the Lord." And he had it, friend. I mean, he had bedrock faith. But it wasn't because of Mrs. Job. Amen. She said, You miserable excuse for a husband. Look at you. Curse God and die. Amen. That's a complaining spirit. Amen. That's a complaining spirit. And even it really got a hold of her. Amen. And boy, she let Job have it. Praise God. It's a piracy spirit. You see, what Job needed right then was her to come up and say, "Honey, what in the world can I do for you? I know you're going through a hard time. This is tough." Amen. "But you know what, honey? We've made it through tough times before, and I'm going to stand right beside you, and we're going to get through this together. Amen. The Lord's going to help us." And reach over and get his old pus-covered hand with a boil on it and hold it real gently so it didn't hurt real bad, and say, let's just pray together, honey. We're going to make it through this." Amen. Praise God. That's how you get rid of a complaining spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. But she didn't have it. She didn't have it. Praise God. There's complaining. And it's a spirit that God judges, and God judges harshly. You want to get in trouble with God, just keep up the complaining. Just keep the telephone lines hot. Amen. Just keep talking the negative. Just keep running down what God's trying to do. Just keep getting in his way. And when he hits you like a Mack truck, you'll wonder what happened. God put up with it for a while, and he had a belly full. Amen. Now, I'm not saying what God's going to do. I don't want God to do anything except straighten us out. Amen. But I am warning today that there is a line we cross when God says, "That's enough." That's enough. I don't want to cross that line. And I don't want anybody else to cross it. Amen. Praise God. But if you're determined that you're going to create chaos in his body, it's just like your body. When it gets a renegade cell, it gathers around it, and it smothers it, and it casts it out. Amen. Your body cannot handle renegade cells, because it'll destroy the body, because they will reproduce. And that's what happens with the spirit of criticism and murmuring. It reproduces. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, I haven't told anybody. Well, I'm just saying today that you got to be careful. Amen. That's between you and God. I'm not here to say yay or nay. Amen. But I'm just saying today, you got to be careful. And I don't know about you, but I can read a bitter spirit a long ways off. I can read a bitter spirit through sweet words. I don't say a word to anybody. And a lot of times that's the first indication right there. I never talk, but yeah, all right. Amen. Praise God. All right. So the spirit of criticism is something, it's a menace to the church. It's a menace to the body of Christ. Amen. And it's very dangerous for anybody that gets caught up in it. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you how to counteract the spirit of complaining. It's the spirit of praise and prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, when Israel got together, they did some stuff. Amen. You know what the Lord finally told Israel? He'd had enough. Every time he tried to do something, you know, he sent the spies into the land, and they come back with this glowing report, remember? They said, "Woo! Look at these grapes." You ever seen grapes like that? Those are the biggest, juiciest, sweetest grapes we've ever seen. And they said the whole place is like that. He said, "It is truly a land that flows with milk and honey, but there's giants over there. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and that's all they heard." And that's what they believed was a negative. Let me just say something. When you hear negative, you don't have to believe it. You can believe the good if you want to. Hallelujah. And there were two fellows there, and they were just hopping up and down saying, "Woo, let's go get up." Amen. God has promised us the land, and we are well able. Giants or no giants. Problems or no problems. Difficulties or no difficulties. We're going to be able to do it. God's going to be with us. Amen. But you know who the people believe? The complainers. And you know what God said? God said, "Now you people, y'all been wanting to die in the wilderness ever since you left Egypt. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to answer your prayer." He said, "Every last one of you that has complained," He said, "you're going to die in this wilderness. And your children that you have said, 'I brought them out here to die,' they're going to inherit that land." Hallelujah. And those two fellows that didn't complain, guess what? They're going to lead you in. Hallelujah. And I love the spirit of Caleb, don't you? When he got over there, he said, "I'm 85 years old." He said, "But you see that big old mountain over there that the giant's been controlling?" He said, "I'm getting ready to go get it right now." Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the spirit of a praiser instead of a complainer. Amen. Praise God. And so it works, folks. I mean, when they got in the land this time, they got rid of the complainers, and they come to this big old walled city called Jericho. And they couldn't get over those thick walls because they were so thick. Chariots could ride around on them. And there wasn't any way to get in the city. And the Lord said, "Just march around the walls." Amen. And they started marching. One day, day two, three, four, five, day six, marched around. Day seven, He said, "Now this is the day. Today we're going to march around seven times." Amen. And then on the seventh time, "I want you to rear back and shout like you never shouted in your life. And I want you to bang pots and pans. And I want you to sing. And I want you to blow the trumpets." Hallelujah. And when they got to praising, I'm telling you, friend, the walls came down. Hallelujah. I saw them. Amen. And then the earth just opened up and swallowed them. Praise God. The walls went down. And they went in and miled a victory. Praise God. That's what happens, you see, whenever there's praise in the church, when there's worship in the church. Amen. Praise God. Great things begin to happen. I've always loved the story of when the king came against Jerusalem and besieged the city and sent a letter in to Jehoshaphat the king and said, "I'm going to come in and we're going to destroy the city." And they sent people there to chide Israel and say, "Don't you think God's going to be able to deliver you? He hasn't delivered their gods in this place and that place and the other place couldn't deliver them, and neither can your God deliver you." And when Jehoshaphat got that letter, he said, "You know what?" He said, "All that's true." So he took that letter down to the house of the Lord and he laid it down on the altar. And he said, "God, what these people are saying is true. Amen. And if you don't help us, you're the only one that can." And the Lord said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to tell every man to get his wife and to get his children. And I want them to march down toward the house of God." And he said, "I want you to just start singing and worshiping and praising God." What a way to fight a battle. What a way to fight a battle. So they just each got out, joined their hands, and they just started singing as they walked down toward the house of God. And the Bible says that the Lord of glory set up ambushments against the enemies that were all around him and destroyed those armies. I'm telling you, folks, when praise goes up, God's glory comes down. Hallelujah. And things begin to happen when we praise. Hallelujah. That's the antidote. Amen. That will cure everything else when we just begin to praise the Lord. Anybody remember Corrie Ten Boom? Those of you that may not, Corrie Ten Boom was a lady that in her family that were Jewish, and they were captured during World War II and put into prison camps, annihilation camps over in Germany. They were hated, and if you've ever read what the Germans in that era did to those Jews, it was horrendous. And so, but Corey came from a family that knew the value of prayer and praise. Her old granddaddy, her old father, had taught them to pray, taught them to give thanks. Even in the face of horrendous things, he said, give thanks. Give thanks. Corey lost her parents. She lost her family in those camps. They were killed and burned, and she survived by the grace and the mercy of God. But in one of those camps that they were in, it was horrible. And when they got there, it was the worst they'd ever been in. As a matter of fact, the barracks that they were staying in were infested with fleas. Just fleas all over the place, fleas biting. And her sweet sister Betsy, every day they'd get up and they'd read the Bible, they'd pray, and they'd start giving thanks. Amen. And so Betsy just insisted. She said, now Corey, we're even going to give God thanks for these fleas. And Corey said, you give thanks for fleas. I'm not. I can't thank God for fleas. Amen. I just can't thank God for fleas. And she'd say, honey, we got to thank God even for the fleas. Amen. But you know, they were there for several weeks, and then weeks turned into months. And you know what? The guards that would go in and abuse women in other barracks would not go in that barrack. You know why? Because of the fleas. And it finally dawned on her, thank God for the fleas. Amen. They may be tough, but at least they're keeping my enemies away from me. God might put a few fleas in your life, but you never know. It may be those fleas that are keeping something worse away. Amen. It may be the fleas that are delivering you out of the hand of an enemy. Amen. So Cora's attitude when she got through with that, she said, thank God for the fleas. Amen. Let's stand together today. Amen. Let's thank God for the fleas. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It may be difficult today. There's some things, you know, that I'm just telling you, folks, we're getting close to victory here. Hey, we're getting real close to victory. We're getting ready to break forth here. Praise God. And there's one last effort today on the part of the enemy to do what he can to stop what God wants to do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.